Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are.
Today, we'll conclude our study of a remarkable faith that would not give up. We'll see how humility, perseverance, and confidence in Jesus are rewarded by His grace. And we'll be reminded that the Lord honors those who continue to trust Him. Part two of Cheryl's message, titled Provoked to Faith.
According to the disciples, this woman had no right at all to address Jesus. And you know reason number one? She was a woman. In fact, in that culture, a rabbi was not even allowed to talk to a woman. There were some Pharisees that if they went near a woman, they would draw up their robes so it wouldn't even brush against a woman, because they believed that a woman was the reason for sin and that she had been a curse to Adam and that she was still accursed. So the disciples were like, she's a woman. Worse than that, she's a Greek. She's a Gentile. The Greeks had their mythology and their false gods, and she was so far removed from the promises and the covenants of Israel. Send her away. She lived in Syrophoenicia, a land that was filled with idolatry, one of the first to dedicate their land to Asherah. A wicked place, a place of merchandising. Wicked, wicked place. And she was a Canaanite by culture that had rejected God, had tried to exterminate the Jews, one that had always had tension between the Jews. No wonder the disciples said, send her away. But now Jesus is speaking to her, and I think that Jesus is calling the disciples out. This is how they feel. But he is showing the disciples, look, she won't be deterred. All your prejudices will not stop this woman from wanting me and coming to me. He said to the woman, it's not right to take the food that was prepared for the children from the master's table and throw it to the little puppies. I was saying in our leadership meeting, I know a little bit about that because my aunt had a poodle, and I said, it's always the women with poodles, and if you're a poodle, just forgive me. If you have a poodle. But you know, people who have poodles usually begin to look like poodles. I'm just saying. Hey, Barnabas is half poodle. I know. But my aunt used to drive through Kentucky Fried Chicken or Carl's Jr. She didn't like to give her dog McDonald's. No. And she would buy a meat patty. I thought, oh, we're going to get hamburgers. Nope. The food was for Javette, the dog. She was named Javette because she was coffee colored. That dog ate fast food every day of its life and died early, just saying. And not only that, but think about it. The woman's problem was demonic. Her daughter was severely, not slightly possessed, severely possessed. What had this young woman opened herself up to, or the mother opened herself up to, that the devil, this demonic power, would have such a stronghold in this young girl's life? What was her behavior like? What was being manifested by this girl? But the mother recognized she's severely demon-possessed. Well, of course, you know, you brought that on yourself, probably. This is Jesus. But he says to this woman who's at his feet and who's worshiping, again, it's not right to take the food from the master's table and give it to the puppies or the little dogs. And she looked up at him and said, oh, but even the little dogs will eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh. Whatever falls from the master's table is all I'm asking for. Whatever they don't want, I want. Whatever they won't eat, it is more than enough to drive this demon out. Whatever falls from your table is sufficient, is powerful, is enough. It's enough. And when we come to Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you have asked. Or we come to Mark, where he says, for this saying of yours, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. It's not an either or. It's not an either or. You know how when you listen to a sermon, you tend to remember what spoke to you the most? You know, somebody else will be like, oh, well, this is what spoke to me. And you open up your notes and you wrote down one thing and somebody else wrote down something else. Well, that's with Matthew and Mark. What spoke to Matthew was the greatness of her faith. Why? Because he was a disciple. Why? Because he was one who was becoming dull to what Jesus was doing. So he comments and says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Mark was a boy. What spoke to him? That she dialogued with Jesus, that she understood what Jesus was saying. He said, oh, woman, great is your faith. It's going to be just as you desire. This saying of yours, because you've understood, go your way. The demon has gone out. It's already gone. Demon's gone. Already gone. While she was dialoguing with Jesus, he had already driven the demon out. He didn't say, the demon is out. He just said, it's already gone. It was my heart's desire. I already did it. While we were conversing, there's so much that we can learn from this woman. We learn first not to be put off when the Lord is silent, but to keep pressing. Think of Sherman. Arp, arp, arp. He did sound like a seal, by the way. Just keep praying. Don't stop praying. How do I know that this is something Jesus wants? Because in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7:7, he said, ask, seek, knock. And those are in the present perfect. In other words, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And then in Luke chapter 18, he told a parable. And verse 1 of Luke chapter 18 says, and he told this parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the story is of a woman, a widow, who wants justice. And she goes to a judge who's not very reputable. And she keeps begging and begging, get me justice, get me justice, get me justice. And the judge reasons, and this is a parable of Jesus, this woman's going to wear me out by her constant coming. I will do what she asks because I'm just tired of listening to her. And then he said, will not the Lord of the earth work for his children even though they cry out day and night? We are to keep praying. Paul would say in Colossians, continue earnestly in prayer with thanksgiving. Keep praying. When you receive silence, keep praying. Keep praying. Secondly, sometimes when we pray, we get a word and it seems so off-putting. Sometimes it even seems like a platitude. Have you ever been praying and somebody comes up to you and says, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord? And even though we like that scripture on good days, when you're going through something heavy and you can't see how this could possibly have any good or value to it at all in your life or the life of others, it's really hard to hear that scripture. And yet, because the Lord has spoken, whatever he says to you, even if it seems off-putting, press in closer. James said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. When the Lord speaks, no matter what he says, that's the time to get closer and bow at his feet. Because speak, Lord, your child is listening. Let's talk. Let's converse. Thirdly, when he speaks, again, find yourself in his plan. Find yourself in his word. Where do you fit in the word of God? Where do you fit? What is your place? She said, you know what? I'm willing to be a puppy and eat scraps because every scrap is so powerful. Find yourself in the purpose and plan of Jesus. Find your identity in Jesus. I'm a little favored puppy to Jesus. But I'm loved. Find your placement. And then be willing to receive whatever Jesus wants to give you. Be willing to receive it because whatever Jesus gives is more than sufficient for the need. It will cover the need. We'll learn a little bit more about that next week. Whatever Jesus gives is powerful enough to drive out whatever demonic powers are troubling you, your children, someone you know. Whatever falls from his table is enough. But let me also say this. Prayer is not just getting our desires accomplished. Prayer has greater purposes. And one of those purposes is that the Lord is working in us. He's working in us to draw us closer to him and to converse with him. You see, prayer is not to be where we just come to Jesus with a to-do list. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. Prayer is meant to be fellowship and conversation. It's meant to be revelational. Jesus wants to reveal himself and his purposes to you in prayer. He wants to talk to you. From the very beginning with Adam and Eve, God created man for fellowship. That's what he wants, fellowship. He wants to dialogue with you. And one of the ways he does it is sometimes by his silence. So we continue to draw closer, then speaking a word that we don't quite understand. So we need understanding. We talk, we ask questions. You know, I've heard pastors say, never ask the Lord why. Bologna. Always ask the Lord why. Because God has something to show you. He has a reason for what he is doing or what he's done. He has a purpose he wants to reveal to you. And you know what? It comes through conversation. It comes through prayer. It is not only Jesus working in us, but it is a testimony to others of what faith looks like and the perseverance of faith. It is a witness to those who say, stop it, send her away. Jesus isn't interested in you. Prayer doesn't work. Oh, really? Watch this. I'm going to keep praying. Years ago, my oldest had backslidden terribly. And boy, I was just, I could not, I was obsessed with praying about my daughter. I was obsessed. And I will tell you, it got worse before it got better. It was hard. But, well, let me tell you this. I was at a prayer meeting. And I had gone to a retreat. They had flown me over from England to be at this retreat because they wanted me to share. It was a pastor's wife's retreat. And I said, can we have a workshop that is just mothers praying for prodigals? And they said, oh, do you want to do a workshop on it? I said, no, I'm a failure. I've got a prodigal. Nobody who's got a prodigal wants to do a workshop. Like, how to have a prodigal like I have, you know? Three great steps to stumbling your children so they'll walk away from Jesus. No, we don't want one of those. I want one where we just pray. That's all we do is seek the face of the Lord. That's all we want. Can we just pray? Well, they said, we found a room for you. And they gave us the room at 3:30. We went into it. At 5:30, they had to tell us we had to go to dinner, that we had to stop praying. Nobody wanted to leave that room. We're like, can we skip dinner? They're like, no, you need to come to dinner. The powers that be. So we went to dinner. In California, and I lived in England at the time, my daughter had appendicitis attack. My daughter was so strong-willed, still is, that the appendix actually burst and was resting on her spine, and she didn't even know it. She was living at my parents' house. My parents weren't living at their house at the time. So she was all alone. And I got a call from my mom saying, Cheryl, you've got to fly out to California right away. Kristen's in the hospital and it doesn't look good. And I said, when did this happen? It was exactly at the same time I was praying that her appendix burst. And I remember I had to speak that night. I couldn't get a flight till the next morning. And I was speaking at a church and I said, Lord, the last thing I want to do is speak right now. I just want to touch you. I just need you so, so desperately. I just want to touch the hem of your garment on behalf of my daughter. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you are touching me. And I looked down and I had a death grip on my Bible. And the Lord said, you are touching me. Well, I went out to California. It was the same time as Columbine. Remember Columbine? We're watching on television while she's recovering. Let me say this. I said, Lord, I want a chance to be her mommy again. I want to change your diapers. I prayed this. She said, that's sick. When I told her, I want to change your diapers. I want to wash her hair. I want to give her baths. I want to have to dress her. I want to be her mommy again. I want a second chance at being her mommy. She got an infection. I had to go to the hospital. I spent the night at the hospital every night with her. And I had to bathe her. I had to change her diapers. I had to wash her hair. She's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm having the time of my life. I love this. Brian calls and says, I'm coming out. I'm like, no, this is my time. I want her all to myself. Make a long story short, my baby girl came back to Jesus triumphantly. Oh, I remember when she came back to Jesus, she moved back to England. We'd find her reading her Bible all over the house. I became so convinced that Jesus saves prodigals because he saved my prodigal. So convinced. And I met these people like, oh no, their kids were in their 30s. We've given up. They're never going to get saved. I'm like, oh yes, they are. I've got an in with God on prodigals. I will pray. And do you know both their kids came to the Lord? And I remember going to a retreat and the mom just kept hugging me going, you believed when I didn't, and they're with Jesus. You believed, not with Jesus like they died, but they were walking with Jesus on earth. God is able, but he's building a testimony that people can see as we pray. When it starts silent or we get that word that puts us off, when we press in and we worship, they're like, why are you worshiping? Isn't he silent? No, he just spoke. But isn't that word a little off-putting? Not to me. Not to me, it's not. I've got his attention. He's looking at me. He's talking to me. I'm going to worship. And then it works for us. Prayer works for us. Remember, that demon left that severely demon-possessed young woman. I find the words used by Mark in his gospel so telling. He says, the demon has gone out of your daughter. We talked about this, past tense. It already happened. Before the woman had finished conversing with Jesus, the Lord had already worked and answered her prayer. There was a woman who used to do the women's prayer meeting here named Carol McClure. And I remember she did a workshop one time, and she said something that Kathy Gilbert and I love. She said, while you worship, the Lord spoke to her and said, while you worship, I will work. And it came because she had this vision of two pots that were right next to each other, parallel. And they were both on a potter's wheel. And she saw one pot had a hand that came up and started trying to help the Lord with the other pot. And the Lord said, this is you with your husband. And he said, if you'll just worship, I will work. If you'll just worship, if you'll converse with Jesus, because that's worship. If you'll take your problems to Jesus, if you'll persevere in prayer with Jesus, he will work, and he is working. The majority of prayer, the majority of answers to prayer require an extended period of time. They require perseverance. And they include discouraging people, discouraging word, discouraging circumstances. Let the discouraging people, the discouraging words, and the discouraging circumstances propel you closer to Jesus. Don't let them repel you. Don't give up on Jesus. He's going to work and through it give you a testimony. Don't be put off. Let your faith take root. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep praying until your prayers become a running dialogue with Jesus. And let God use your prayers. And this is my main point, to make the Barnabases of this world appreciate their owner and the banquet that their owner has prepared for them. Amen. Amen.
The Lord delights in faith that clings to him no matter the circumstance. As we bring our needs before him with humility and confidence, we discover his faithfulness again and again. May our lives be marked by a steadfast trust in the goodness and mercy of Jesus Christ. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, Cheryl begins a new message from God's Word to encourage your walk with Him. We do hope you'll make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, wonder. We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.